7 p.m. Public meeting order will be PS Rice for dedication and pledge of allegiance. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please be with those in attendance. Please be with our residents. Please be with all of those in harm's way with the hurricane and the tropical depressions. Please be with our first responders, both volunteer and professional. Please be with our military. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Lehman?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Altadonga?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here. Item 5, citizens participation. We have Ms. Sylvia Volkman. Would you like to speak now or for the item? It's your preference.
Okay. I'll speak up again later.
All right. This is regarding the Ben Zingelman reconstruction project.
All right. Good evening, Madam Mayor and council members and all our lovely people here. My name is Sylvia Volkman. I live at 4843 Ben Zingelman Road. I have been in Kirby almost 40 years, and I've been at this house probably a little over 30 years. I'm here tonight because of the Ben Zingelman project, phase one. When y'all drive by, I'm sure y'all notice that the road looks like it's done, but not everything is complete. We would like to know what's going on with the drainage, because the water is always standing there. So it was bad when we had the street before, but now with this company, whoever did it, SAS with Ford Engineering, it is horrible. We have water standing everywhere. I've sent pictures to our mayor, and she can certainly provide you those up on the screens at the next meeting if you want. Our mailboxes have not yet been set. We have quite a few houses, mine included, that don't even have the hole in the sidewalk to put the mailbox in. So my mailbox is leaning against the retaining wall. When we have our swamp out front, the mailman does not, or mail lady does not get out of the car to give us our mail because she'll have to swim to the mailbox. So we had a while there where we weren't even getting mail. They were just kind of ignoring us because it was muddy and everything. We now have a speed bump in Kirby. For those of y'all that have not been on our street on Ben Zingelman Road at the San Antonio, at the stop sign right across from our house. Something happened and the road must have shifted because now there's a big drop right there. It's horrible, and I'm sure Ms. Wilson can attest to that because she lives right around the corner from us. So, of course, we need to have something done with that. They've come out and they've removed signs and everything, so we thought, oh, hey, they're going to be coming up and finishing our mailboxes and such, but all the company did was remove the signs so that everybody can continue to speed down there. And then I'd like to address this to Mr. Ford Engineering here, because I understand this was brought up at the last council meeting. I am the person, sir, where the company removed the plant from my house. That plant was almost 40 years old. My parents planted it there when they bought the house back in 75 or 76. According to what I've heard, you're saying, oh, well, it's not protected. We should have told y'all. Nobody came to my house and knocked on my door and asked permission to take the plant out. As a matter of fact, if you look at the sidewalk, the plant was nowhere near where they put that sidewalk. Okay, so you take my plant out. You don't even leave half of it. You take out the full one. So I'd like to know if that's going to be replaced or whatever. And it's not the money, okay? It's because of the sentimental values because my mother planted there. My mom is 83, okay? And then you took my bush out, but down the two houses down, you leave the trees up, and that sidewalk is not even ADA compliant. I know that's my time, so I'm sure I'll voice more opinions later.
Thank you, Sylvia. Ms. Heidi Riggs, regarding the Ben Zingelman construction, would you like to speak now?
Yeah.
I'm going to address it now so that way hopefully the gentleman that's here from Ford Engineer and Gilbert can hopefully answer it when they speak. So I kind of have questions slash concerns. Basically, hopefully he'll answer if there's anything they will be doing about the drainage issues. I understand a lot of roads have the issue, but we're definitely hoping that we can fix that because at the edge of our driveways, it does puddle up, and as you drive, it throws water back on the sidewalks. I've literally had to go to the middle of the road so I wouldn't splash water on somebody on the sidewalk. So it's a concern for people that are using our sidewalks, which is the whole point of putting the sidewalks and making them ADA so we can get to the senior center and everything. Also, the yard and the grass, I'm wondering if he is going to come out, and some of it is sprouting. The first batch they laid is awesome, looks good, but then they hit down to my end and the grass is dead. So I have some that's sprouting, but I do have a bunch of squares that are still dead and not sprouting. So I'm hoping they will address that and either come switch the ones out that aren't or figure something out with that. And then I also am hoping by the end that they come back and look through our driveways. I have a bunch of cracks that were made from where they placed the new driveway add on to my old, which is eventually going to cause grass and other water issues. And at the bottom of my driveways, also where the brand new sidewalk they put in and the road, they made a nice crack there too, which is also going to eventually cause issues for the sidewalk and the driveway. So I'm hoping Ford Engineering will be able to address those for me tonight and also make you guys aware of the quality of work that is being done. I understand there's weather issues, but sometimes when there's not weather issues, there is a quality issue, and I definitely hope if we ever go with Ford Engineering again that we really seriously consider it, or they can really give us some promises, or we give some harsh consequences for issues like this. I hate to waste our grant money on redoing things as we've dug up sidewalks 2-3 times. We still have stuff to do, and we're only on phase one. So I really don't want to see our money wasted. Thank you very much.
Ms. Willie Mae Clay, regarding the need for safety features in and around FM 78 and Old Seguin, reinstall bus stop at Charles Conrad and Old Seguin. The floor is yours.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me start then. My chair gonna stop in a minute. There it goes. good evening. I'm Willie Mae Clay, and I reside on Dick Gordon Drive. I've been there about 41 years. When I came to Kirby, I was driving, but in the interim, after 40 years, after age 40, I lost the ability to drive. So I'm still on the go, and I use public transportation now. I use Beatrans and the buses. I'm here tonight to talk about the need to put in place strong safety features in and around and near the last bus stop going out of Kirby. So if you were to speak to VIA, it would be bus stop going inbound, going toward downtown. So it would be on the right side, not too far from Dairy Queen, but the last one.
By the liquor store.
By the what?
By the liquor store.
Liquor store, yes. And I stand right in front of it. Watch people go in and out. But let me tell you, let me tell you the way I go to the bus, and the city of Kirby police officers, they don't even stop me. They so used to seeing me traveling, trying to get to the bus. But I'm glad that they're there because I know that I'm being protected somehow. I'm glad something's protecting me because the route that I take, frankly, there's no safety features there. When VIA TxDOT and the city of Kirby got together, It was decided. I don't know who decided it, but it was decided. How in the devil that 3 minutes or 2 minutes went that fast? Let me cut it off. Bottom line is, I told them, I came here and I said, don't upgrade that last bus stop going out of Kirby because it's not safe. I told them that. Prior to them upgrading it, we were using, there was a bus stop that was accessible, Charles Conrad, No Skin. I could use that. It was very safe because I'd get off the bus and I could look both ways and I could see the traffic and safely cross the street. They ignored me. And they upgraded that last bus stop going out of Kirby and took away the one on Charles Conrad Noski. When I catch the bus, I leave my house, I go up Buzz Aldrin, and I turn right, and I go through the turning lane that the cars use because there's no accessible path to that bus stop. And that's the way I go. And I turn right, and I travel down the street, and my back is to the traffic, and I'm praying that nobody would hit me and knock me down the ditch. And then when you get to this area, you got a pedestrian walk that you can take and go to the bus stop. But hey, that pedestrian walk leads to a drop. So even after I get off the bus, I can't even continue on the pedestrian walk because I'll break my neck because there's a drop. So I'm asking you, and I'm talking too fast, but I've called in to Via, and I said to Via, I want you to replace that bus stop on Charles Conrad and Oseguin because it's safer. It's safer. And the other thing is, and I asked the drivers, I said, give me a courtesy stop, please, at old Charles Conrad and Oseguin. Some will and some won't. And when they don't, then it puts me at the mercy of going across the street in that turning lane and trying to get home. And so that's the bottom line. We need some kind of safety features at that intersection of Oseguin and FM 78. We need a flashing light. Cause when those people turn, they can hit you. Even if you're going across the pedestrian walk. Cause they're turning. And we need something to slow them down and let them know that there's something they need to watch out for. So those are the two things, and I want that bus stop replaced on Charles Conrad Noske. And I'm not through with this body or Via. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, because I love to travel, and I don't want to be killed.
Thank you, Ms. Clay.
Thank you so very much.
All right, we have no more citizens signed up to speak. We'll move to item 6, consideration of and action on minutes. Regular meeting minutes of August 23rd and the public hearing special meeting August 30th, 2018. I will entertain a motion.
Make a motion to accept.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge to accept the minutes of regular meeting August 23rd and public hearing special meeting August 30th. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand. Minutes pass. At this time, I will close our regular meeting at 7:13, and I will open the public hearing. The public hearing is on Crime Control and Prevention District proposed budget for 2018-2019 fiscal year. Is there anybody in our audience who wishes to speak on this matter? All right, with there nobody being here to speak, I will close the meeting, the public hearing, at 7:14, and we will reconvene the regular meeting. I am going to deviate from the item 8A, and I'm going to move to item 8B, update discussion and possible action on Benzingelman Road reconstruction project.
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
So I will address the progress, which hasn't been much because of our rain delay. The sidewalks are complete. The curbs are complete. The driveways are complete. The asphalt's complete. Most of the sodding is complete. Yes, mailboxes are not in yet, and the signage is not in yet, and that phase is not complete. Just to address one issue so we can understand roles of players in this project. So Ford Engineering is the city engineer, and we work under the direction of the city manager on the projects as assigned to us by the city manager. And SAC is our contracted, they're our contractor selected by due process by the city per our low bid cost. And that is the format the city went with. And they had recommendations that we went through all this. So while I am the project manager of this, I am not associated with SAC, and I am not there on a daily basis doing inspections. On this project, City of Kirby Public Works is making daily inspections and can address a lot of these issues that have come up.
But just to clarify,
yes.
But based on the lowest responsible bid,
exactly.
Ford Engineering did recommend that is the bid we
yes,
accept
ma'am.
Based on specs.
As we are required to, we cannot recommend anyone other than low bid per our contract with the city. So,
but you're confirming, I just want to, so everybody's clear though, you're confirming that the bid that they turned in matched y'all's specs either to it or above it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And so the intent is that they will meet our design criteria and they will meet the end result that we are looking for as a city. And so, yes, we understand, and I've been out there with Gilbert, and we've identified areas where there are cracks in the new work. And we've identified those, and we will have the contractor adjust those before the project is done, and they're released and gone for good. So the way the project goes, we have different phases, and so this is phase one. Phase two, they've already, yes, we understand they went out of phase, and they've been chastised and been told that they can't do that. And we discussed this last week, and so we understand that. And then they'll do phase two, and then phase three is the last bit of 2-inch mill and overlay. After they're done with that, what we're going to do is give them a partial acceptance. And at that point, we will do a review of from the start of the project to the end of phase three, and there will be a punch list given to them if they want partial acceptance. And at that time, they will have to address any cracks in the existing or cracks in the new pavement, cracks in the new curbs, cracks in the new sidewalks, and that's when they'll take care of that. We do try and identify them as we go along, and they also identify them. The contractor waits until that point so they can get acceptance on a period and then start the warranty on that work. So right now they haven't started any warranty on the work. That will start once we do a partial acceptance of this project. But we will identify the areas that have been discussed by the concerned homeowners, such as the cracks in the driveways, cracks in the curbing, and ponding. In fact, I was speaking with the contractor this morning, advising him that while the sun is out, they should be out there doing the mailboxes. So he called some crews to go out there, and I said, thank you. And we also identified an area of ponding, which is between the beginning of the project and Buzz Aldrin, that I had identified when I went out there last Friday after a rainstorm. Now, to address drainage in the city of Kirby. So the city infrastructure is from a period in the 70s, primarily when a lot of this was done. The slopes in the streets are flat. When I say flat, they're at about 0.3%. So multiply that by 100, it's not very much. So when 100 feet, it drops 0.3 feet. It's very flat, these streets are. And so they are designed to carry the capacity of a 25-year rainstorm up to curb depth inside the right-of-way. So it'll go up on a 25-year event storm, and we've had some pretty heavy rain, so but not near as much as a 25-year. It should be going up to the right-of-way, which is, if you take the curb, it's approximately 10 feet behind the curb. So they're designed that way. That's a kind of a standard drainage practice in the San Antonio metropolitan area. And to clarify that this is a street reconstruction and not necessarily a drainage improvement project. So there was so much we could do with the monies that we had identified to address drainage issues. And part of that was we could try and fix the street grades, which before were a little bit of a roller coaster. And this project was to get rid of the valleys and get rid of the hills so we can get the water to move out of there. Obviously, we can't get to move out there any faster because we have two different points that we have to meet. We have to tie into the existing ground, and we have to tie into the existing drainage structures because we can't improve those drainage structures. So we are somewhat held on what we can do with the grades. So one thing I noticed, and it was brought to my attention, I was out in the last Friday, that at the corner of Springfield and Benz Engelman, we have a new development there. And no Ford Engineering is not associated with that development other than we are the city engineer. So please, I will try and fix what I can fix by directing it to the city's attention. I noticed that there is runoff coming off of there, and they do not have or did not have their silt fences up and their erosion control. And so there was a lot of silt and junk coming onto the street. And I send that to you, Gilbert? Mentally, I did. I was sending you brainwaves, at least. So that's one issue. But with the increase in development there, we have made them follow the city's requirements for detention, which they will do once they submit site plans. At this point, I haven't seen a site plan come in, so I cannot hold them to detention. So that's one thing. If you feel like that's causing increased of runoff, it really shouldn't be, and it shouldn't once they're done, as long as they are following the city's requirements for detention and reducing increased runoff.
But is it safe to say that when SAC is done with each phase, that water should not pool in places that it did not pool before?
Yes, that is correct. While the rain is raining, there will be water in the streets.
Correct,
when it's done, it should be out within a 24-hour period. So with most concrete flat work, you may have little bird baths, you know, half inch in a small 5-foot area. It happens, and it's hard to get rid of those. The area that's right there at Buzz Aldrin is an area I've asked them to address because it was about 50 feet long and about 2 feet wide, and it had stopped raining maybe an hour or two before I got out there. So most of the puddles should be all gone except for little bird baths that should, you know, little bits in the concrete. So that will be addressed. The mailboxes are being addressed. I'm not sure I understand what is meant by a speed bump other than at the Allen Shepherd where they have ended their mill. And obviously, we're not done yet, and that will go away. If there's another area where the pavement has failed at the only other intersection I can think of is at Buzz Aldrin. Did I just say Buzz Aldrin? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we stop at Allen Shepherd. So at Buzz Aldrin, if there's a bump there, we need to have the contractor address that. And I'll be going out tomorrow morning. I'll take a look at that, and I'll be with TxDOT, and we're going to look at the entire phase one. And then if there's a bump there, we can have the contractor address that. So ADA compliant sidewalks. At this point, the plans were reviewed. The widths are ADA compliant. At those trees, we did narrow down the sidewalk. They are still ADA compliant. They are not the 5-foot width that we wanted to have there, but it was either that or destroyed the trees that were there. So we tried to accommodate many things. Now, we did not know the history or sentimental value of the bushes that the lady at 4843 was describing. And I sympathize, I understand. I mean, that's a hard thing to replace. If it was in the right-of-way, obviously, it's in the right-of-way. The city, if it doesn't, the city protects trees. Bushes, no. Should they have been contacted? Absolutely. She should have been notified that the bushes in front of her house would have to go. Again, that would be not on Ford Engineering to go and ring her doorbell. That is the responsibility of the contractor. If they're tearing out something that is being torn out, they would need to contact whoever is there. And that could also go through Public Works, but I don't think that was done. So if the city would like to replace that, I mean, that has to come from management. It's not a call I can make, but definitely if she's requesting it, the city can consider replacing her shrubbery. So the grass was not laid that long ago, and it's in a hot period of the season. And then we're going to enter into our cooler period of the season. So we give them a chance to establish 85% coverage with their vegetation. So at this point, we haven't accepted phase one. And so there is a period of time that they have to get that grass established. And if it hasn't been established by the end of that period, then they will need to replace anything that didn't grow. But we do need to be patient, because if, you know, grass does take a little while to get established, even if it's in sod. And sometimes it does go dormant if it's placed at certain times of the year, although with all the rain we've had, it shouldn't have gone dormant. So it's just a matter of time to see what's going to happen with that grass. It should be green. It should be nice right now. Yes, sir.
What's the process that they're going to use to replace the mailboxes? Are they going to chip up the new sidewalk that's there? Well, I can't understand why they didn't. I couldn't understand why they didn't do that. I just drove down there today, and I was watching this one lady. Her mailbox is in the middle of the driveway. Okay. And my point is, everyone I've seen before, they form out where the mailbox is going to sit. So the only thing I can figure, you're going to have to come with a jackhammer or something and
probably
take
have
up the
to
new
replace
concrete.
A panel. But we'll verify with them how they're going to make
that
work.
Okay, so further down the line, can we look at maybe not have to do that again?
Well, again, that's completely on the contractor.
Okay. All right.
I mean, in the plans, it shows where they have to put the mailbox.
Right.
If they miss that, they have to fix that. So they're not completely off the hook yet, and so we will hold them to put the mailboxes in. And I understand there's some people said, hey, you show my mailbox here, can you move it to the other side? Yeah.
We can
make that change.
Well,
that as long as it's done soon enough, that they should put a block out. But on several spaces, they didn't put block outs even though it was shown. So that is on the contractor to address.
So are they going to dig up the sidewalk again?
That's the point I'm making, exactly.
So if the contractor has replaced something that they have already put in there and it is found deficient when looking at it per the plans and the specifications, the cost to replace that is on the contractor, and he understands that. So as far as the mailbox setting, so we have plans, and the plans, it calls out for it to be a metal post. And so the metal posts, if they do it correctly, they might be able to cord in there. But my impression is that won't last.
The tension of the concrete is going to be stressed.
Right. So if they can't cut a new block, they'll cut the panel.
Okay.
So that will be something that we address with them right now as they're doing their mailboxes and they're trying to get those in.
And that's part of phase one. So I just want it to be clear that they are not to start phase two until phase one is done, and phase one includes those mailboxes. So it's not that they're going to start phase two because all they have left is mailboxes. Is that correct?
So if that's the way the city wants to do it, I will coordinate with Monique on how that goes.
I only say so because, in my opinion, if you're saying phase two doesn't start until phase one is complete, those mailboxes are part of phase one, because what's going to happen, and I fear that's going to happen, is that, oh, it's just mailboxes, so it doesn't get done. So that's why I'm asking, because we've been told that phase two does not start. However, then we were notified on September 4th, or not on September 4th, but that September 4th, phase two was going to start, but we only had this left. But clearly there's other issues that you yourself have identified in phase one.
Yeah.
Okay, and real quick, to address the post office, the delivery person, yeah, they do get off and swim. I already called over there, and the mail comes through, and if she can't get her dainty little feet wet, then she has a problem. Okay? The only other way they can do it, they have to leave. It has to be some kind of dangerous situation, like a dog or something of that nature. But water, no. You get your mail. I know, and I have the direct number for Houston Street.
And that lady over there.
Something that I would like the city to oversee, since it's you, Gilbert, and Monique, that it doesn't start until they're done with that.
One other thing real quick, too. If you notice, I don't know if you got, because I drove today because of being called. They cut squares out. So there's no boring going to go on, because almost every one of those posts, if you look at them, they got a big chunk of concrete on the bottom. And some of them are square, and they're not the poles. So, in other words, it's not what I want to say, all of the same.
So, in the contract, we have new mailboxes.
New. Okay.
That is in the contract for new mailboxes. So that's a new post and a new mailbox.
That works. Okay. See, I can figure out.
It'll be a galvanized metal post.
Okay.
And if there's an owner who loves their mailbox. I talked to one lady, and she has an oversized mailbox.
Yes.
And she's like, I want to keep this mailbox.
Yes.
They can coordinate that either through the contractor or Gilbert and say, please make sure that when they put my new mailbox, I want this one back on there.
Okay.
Let me clarify that, though, with the ones that are made out of bricks,
exactly.
There is no responsibility for the city to replace that with a brick.
Because you got the guy on the corner on the other side.
They can't rebuild them without the city permission.
No.
But you can't, because you take the ADA compliancy out of the sidewalk.
That's when they used to do those little curved things.
And you can't do that. Because the guy, I already got a call from the guy on the corner on the other side. The mailbox got hit because he's been waiting for this so he gets his bricks put back. I told him it ain't happening. He's not happy.
So the way that these are going to be set, the mailboxes are going to be parallel to the street.
Correct.
So they won't be sticking out perpendicular to the curb. Right. They will be parallel. That allows us the room that we need for pedestrians still access.
Yeah.
So it's a new street, and we're trying to make it better. Obviously, we had to lower the street so it would drain, which is why we had to add in some retaining walls. Because there are hills and there's valleys, and our lovely soil here in San Antonio and Kirby and shirts and Converse, and we get this black gumbo that when it gets wet, it likes to push up our pavement. So,
are they going to recolor the manholes?
Recolor the manholes.
That's what I was going
to
ask. Because the one down the street from my house, the manhole actually is sunk.
Yeah,
so you're going to have to raise it on the collar.
Yeah, when they raise it up to grade, then they're going to have to seal it, concrete it, and everything.
Okay.
So as long as it has to be raised, they'll raise it, put the collar, seal everything. If it has to be lowered, they'll take some off, do the same thing, stay in place. It has to be the most part watertight.
Right.
So
they'll
do everything necessary to make sure that.
I was going to say, because you're going to run the grade there, and it's going to be below what he's doing, and
then you're going to have that.
They're fine. There's collars. I don't think any of the vandals that I've seen there are low enough to require us to dig up, put any poles or anything on it.
Okay.
So we can do regular rings, concrete rings, and I'm sure that's what's going
to
be.
That's what I'm talking about, yes.
Throw out rings to bring them up. I believe that. That's right.
Okay. That's it. So you bring it to grade.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So is that something that we're going to uphold them to make sure that phase one is completely done before they start phase two?
This correct
sidewalks. So that would go with the
correct sidewalks. So we want it substantially complete. So striping will not be done. Mailboxes can be set. Minor fixes like cracked curb and stuff, we want to wait till we get through phase three and have them come back and fix that.
That's when you
we don't want it to sit there for the entire year not being touched, but we at the same time, we want them to make enough progress that it's worthwhile for them to come back and send their subs to fix what they've done wrong. Then we can warranty that, and that warranty starts on a portion of the road. It's fair to the contractor and it's fair to the city that way.
Well, I think the speed bump that Sylvia's referring to is when they started phase two without permission,
and they
dropped that level. Yeah. So what they cut is what we're talking about.
Obviously, we're trying to
exactly
discourage speeding in the area, but the final product will not have that. The final product will not have a bump. It should be a smooth transition. If the city would like speed bumps, that should be something that would be going through management. So,
gotcha.
But no, it should be smooth.
Right. And when I said that was a joke, that we had that
to
drop there.
But it does slow them down.
Oh, it does, yeah.
You know, it's half of this and half of that.
So all of the issues such as ponding, those things will be addressed after the phase is complete.
After phase three.
Fractures, and the all of that.
Yeah.
I just personally believe that the mailboxes, to me, is an important part of that phase. It may not be important to some people listening, but it is absolutely important in my opinion because I don't want it to be an afterthought. I mean, on our schedule, they were supposed to have that done by July 31st.
Yes, they were.
The paperwork you gave was correct.
And this is now September 13th. So,
yes, ma'am.
And I can guarantee you up until this last couple of, actually this last week, there was no rain. So, you know, weather can't even be a factor in the fact that they are that far behind.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I can name you three people that want their mailbox. I already know. Real quick. Okay.
And I just want, like I had stated last time before, when you say the city, you're referring to the council that sits up here, who in guidance for Monique, the city manager. So if there's something between, whether one of us has something or all of us concur about something or calling her about something and she's calling you, that's the city.
Yes, sir.
We're all elected up here, so that makes us the city.
Yes, sir.
So go back to your little pyramid, and that's where that starts at. So if she's calling or Gilbert's calling again, she's having full authority again on things that are going on here. And we're, again, going by what you're stating, as the mayor just stated, that was July 31st, install mailboxes.
Yep.
Concrete and sidewalks, concrete driveways, install fire hydrants, wheelchair ramp. That's all done too?
Wheelchair ramps are in. Yes, sir.
Sure, it is there.
And that was the thing, wheelchair ramps were supposed to be done after, but the mailboxes were supposed to have been done first before that.
So yeah. And we need to be a little bit, I mean, we need to be a little bit loose on as far as how they get things, what the order they do, but we do want that stuff done before they move on. Does that make sense?
Sure.
If they do a sidewalk ramp before they do a mailbox, That's okay as long as they're done with the mailboxes before they move on.
If there were other variables besides just the construction part, I think that there would be a little bit more understanding from the city, from our staff. But there are other variables that have happened for this project that I won't go into at this point. But, I mean, I think that the city has been extremely patient. I think our residents have been extremely patient and forthcoming, you know, with the trash thrown in their yards, with people taking their water, with the utmost disrespect to the residents from some of the workers through there, them blatantly disregarding instruction not to drive their vehicles through our city, the blatant disregard to dump stuff in that wasn't even from our project. I mean, that to me is blatant disregard for a company that was recommended, regardless of laws or, you know, the stipulation that we have to make the lowest responsible bid. Those, are, to me, should not be overlooked. Those are not little things. So that's why, you know, when things like the mailboxes haven't been done, to me, that may seem like a small thing, but in lieu of everything else that's gone on with this group, not thinking that they need to answer to anybody, not thinking that they need to have conversations with the residents whom they're inconveniencing, not thinking that they need to, you know, talk to Gilbert, talk to our staff. Those are the things that have made this project so tense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I don't disagree with you or with Councilwoman Pierce.
I just hope that the future phases are not as complicated and troublesome and so stressful as phase one. Phase one is horrible.
Phase two should be easy. There's nothing wrong.
Well, I would tell you this. When I started getting phone calls, it all goes back to the mailbox. Do you know why? Because their mail got drowned. Because every one of them was at an angle. And those are not waterproof mailboxes. That's when I started getting phone calls. Guy opened it up, and I mean, he's called, and it's like, come look at it. And it's like, oh, my God. And that's one of those that was laying at an angle, and it just, which you can't get. But I'm saying, had they been on time, even close to on time.
And absolutely, gotten, yeah.
Say,
if,
August,
if they finished it on August 28th, they would have beat the rain. That wouldn't exactly. have been an issue. No, I totally understand, and okay. I agree. Yeah.
You know, and it's on those guys. I mean, I understand, like, we change agendas. We may play with our agenda a little bit, but there's common sense to things. And just like you said today, while the sun's out, get out there.
Yes, sir.
Well, guess what?
Taking this time from May to September to not complete our park. How long is it going to take for phase three?
Please, I live down the road. Don't go there.
So just to discuss the scheduling. So if the contractor is not done by the scheduled date and we factor in all the rain days that are applicable, then there is liquidated damages that the city applies per day for them not being done. So it is in the contractor's best interest to complete the project by the date specified. Now, some phases may not meet the timeline that we want. And for that, we say, well, you've got to finish it. Hurry and finish it. You can't start on the next phase until it's done. This is their incentive to get it done, is because if they don't finish the entire project, substantial completion by the completion date that we have, there are liquidated damages that the city can and should assess.
What about the draw dates on the job? The draw dates, draw time, how much are they being able to draw per as they're going along because they're going to make their payroll?
So they draw per the work that they've completed.
Okay.
And the city has retainage on that.
That's what I, okay.
So the partial acceptance doesn't negate any the city's ability to
withhold.
Go back on them.
Right. So this is partial acceptance, not complete acceptance.
Correct.
So the retainage will remain in the city until the project is complete.
Okay. There we go.
So right. Before we wrap this up, I just want to make sure that, Gilbert, can you please just – for the record, if there are problems, incidences, issues, can you please tell who our residents are supposed to contact? Okay. So that is you, correct? All right. But, I mean, I do know that the residents that are here tonight that are affected by this have contacted SAC, and they don't always get return phone calls. And that was one thing I know that we were very adamant about, that if our residents reached out for them, you know, that the residents, that was their first call. If they didn't get, you know, response from the company, that they were supposed to call the city. So I just want to make sure that that's still how we want it, that they are supposed to contact SAC first and then come to the city.
Where's that number available? I saw that, but I mean, can they, you know, because there's some older people there, I got to look. They can call City Hall to get the number?
When the contractor goes through the next section, they put a hanger on there. They put a hanger on the doors, and it has a contact number.
I understand that, but...
So hopefully at that point...
It gets put over here, and that's, it goes away. I just want to make sure it's public that if they just pick up the phone, call City Hall, that they can get that number, because sometimes they don't answer that number, and you can leave a lot of messages. I just, you know, sometimes it's better when the older people that live there, it's comforting to them that somebody spoke to them, and that helps a lot.
So what is a reasonable amount of time if they do contact SAC? What would be a reasonable time that the city would believe is a reasonable amount of time for that company to respond? 24 hours?
24 hours.
Okay.
What they're supposed to.
Right. I just wanted for the record.
I agree. I know, but they don't. But yeah, you're right. I know, they don't.
Right, and that's why I want to.
And I hate to be a jerk, even when you say councilman, they don't call you back. Which is not your fault.
What's that?
Even when you say councilman, and I hate to say that because I don't like to do that at all. I like to remain a citizen. If I make a call, I don't want any title with it. I just want to be responded to because I call.
I understand.
And then when you do that two or three times and you don't get a call, then you get a little irritated at an old man, and then you say, councilman, and you still don't get called, then your feathers get a little dusty. Okay?
Is there any further questions regarding the Benzingelman Road reconstruction project for not only Mark with Ford Engineering, but for our city staff before we... Go ahead.
Okay, Monique, when we were discussing allowing them to, to dump their stuff over there, did we ever get a hold of the lawyer to see if we could charge them for dumping their stuff? And now since they're over dumping? And are we charging them a fee?
So I think that we can need- I address the material? And I've heard a little bit about this from Gilbert, and I spoke to the contractor today about this as well. Can I address it?
Go ahead.
Just a little bit.
That's fine.
So his plan for that material was to use it as the subgrade below the sidewalks. And so in order to do that, it has to meet testing specifications. And so his intent is to use the majority of that material. In fact, he said all of it. I said, well, anything that doesn't go for that has to, you got to get that out of there. And I said, and I need to see the test. Need to see the results.
But
so until that, I need him to get the testing done. So before you start charging a fine, my recommendation would be make sure if he's going to use this and it's for the project, which he's claiming it is, then we just need to get the test and determine that he is going to use it.
How soon will they do that so that we know what's stored there?
How soon do you need it?
Tomorrow.
How soon do you need it?
Because it's pretty much full. If you look at the lot now,
yeah.
I mean, they've only done one block.
It's a mountain. Right. There's mountains.
But what I'm saying is part of the stuff that they've dumped there is not City of Kirby stuff. They have dumped from their other work areas and dumped it in Kirby.
That's
and that's what I'm saying, is that he's going to use that
all
material.
All of that?
That was what I was told. So my only recommendation to the city staff is that we get the test and verify that it's going to meet the requirements of the project.
So in other words, he's brought in material to our city that's not tested, correct?
Yes, but that's not uncommon. So he's going to bring in material and have it tested. He brings in the concrete. It's not tested till it gets here and we take samples.
That's
so it's not uncommon to do this. The question is he using this as storage for something else?
Well,
and to determine that, he said that he's using it for this project, and my response was, we'll get it tested and prove to me that it will work.
My question was not because he's using it for storage, is because he's using it. If we would not allow him to store that stuff into that area, and I've heard lots and lots of complaints from that area because it's causing illnesses and things, but we have charged
a storage fee for the dirt where the contractors are working. Or that they've done, you know, they worked in the Little League area in the park, and they worked over there and put some of their stuff there. But they're just having, if they didn't store it in Kirby, they'd have to store it someplace else and pay a storage fee. And that was kind of my, you know, my thinking is they're going, you know, not only are they tearing up streets going through Kirby with their trucks, then they're going down another streets and going to...
Which is Gaiety.
And when we get to Gaiety to repair, there's too many people who live on that street who makes too much money that you'll never get a grant to repair that road. And then they're dumping the dump, and all that dust that they're doing is harming the citizens that live in that area. And so my point is I think that we need to look into charging them a storage fee until they decide they have their testing. And if it's not going to pass their testing, then they need to either pay storage for us until they get through with the next 4 years, I guess, on Ben Zingelman. Or something.
Keep it.
I mean, it's been 6 months for one, you know, for a block.
Well, for one thing, there should have been paperwork on any of that dirt being moved to begin with coming into the city. Yes? Okay, so they failed there. Then how long has that dirt been there, and what's a reasonable time for them now to have that testing done to see if it's certified to be used underneath the sidewalks? So how long has the dirt been there?
About 2 months.
2 months?
And they're going to
I think they've already had a reasonable amount of time. So
I think we need to expedite this.
Next week, the end of next week, we need to have the testing completed and done. If that's not it, I want to make sure that we see the paperwork from where that dirt originated from to be brought here into the city, because that dirt could be contaminated dirt, which would fall underneath hazmat and all sorts of other things. Yes? No? No?
Well, it just seems to me, this gentleman, the contractor, what's caused a lot of tension, and I hate to say this, but it's the best line I've ever had, is failure to communicate. He's taken liberties one after another without communicating with our staff, this is not like San Antonio. We're 2.5 square miles. We'll be able to find him pretty quick, you know? Monique's in the office. Quit just a little backup, and we're a small town. We all know each other. We take things literally and seriously, and we take respect more than anything else. Just get this gentleman, if he's going to want to put dirt there, pick up the phone. If you can't get Gilbert, get Monique. Say, look, I'm going to use this for backfill. I need to bring it in. I'm going to get it tested. And, you know, instead of just, you got 7,000 eyes here, and you start driving down the street with a load of dirt and you go just dump it, you don't think that phone ain't going to ring? Oh, my God, it's going to ring. You get your mail wet, it's going to ring. So he's got to understand this is not a large community. This is not San Antonio.
That's something we've stressed to him.
You know, I mean,
every time we talk to him.
He's got to get it. I mean, I don't like to argue. I don't like to have confrontations. I like things to go smooth. I know that nothing is perfect. There's only two things in the world that are perfect, sir. One's an ass, the other's an idiot. Other than that, we're going to make mistakes, and we can deal with them if we know and we have some good communication.
I'm going to ask Gilbert to speak to that, Mike.
Sure. I've spoken with them, communicated with them several times, brought up all these issues every time we have our council meetings, everything that's addressed, I've addressed it, and also a couple concerns that I've come across at the time, which eventually make their way over here as well. There have been times where I've called both phone numbers more than on one occasion on the same day and have not gotten a response. I just think, again, communication needs to be key, and we have stressed a lot of these issues with them. So as far as on our side, we are doing everything we can, but, again, it takes two. You know, we need to make them – they need to get done what we need them to get done and follow what needs to be followed as per contract.
You know what? I'm looking at you two guys, and I was kidding him tonight. I told him he needed – if he had his asbestos underwear on because it was going to get hot in here. My point to you is – you guys are doing what we're asked. I want him here.
I want him to fade the heat that you two guys fade every damn time we sit here. Because apparently he doesn't get it. He's like a little kid, you know? And if he does, he's going to respect this council, or he's going to find him under the street to go fix. Because they got a man sitting right over there that can break any contract that's made, I think. Because I'm tired of we having to horsewhip you two guys every damn time we sit here. It's getting to be ridiculous. You guys are carrying the torch, and he's spitting on it, and I'm tired of it. It is not your fault. Gilbert, I come up there to watch. I see. I drive through and I look. And I don't want to act like we're micromanaging you two guys, because we're not. The point of it is, this guy is too damn stupid to listen. So we need to have come to Jesus meeting. He needs to be here. If he doesn't want to come in.
Well, and he has actually denied requests to come to
council. I know.
So that was when Mark Hill, since we have both of our Marks here, Mark actually met with them, with Gilbert, with Monique at the area, and Mark with Ford Engineering did read the Riot Act that way. So again, but no, to your point, again, it was outlined. So there is no gray area. The contractor knows exactly what Ford Engineering expects, knows exactly what the city expects from that job. So at this point, it is a blatant disregard for both of the authorities that are overseeing that project.
Quick question. So, how many times does he say no problem? More than once?
God bless you.
It just depends on the conversation.
I'm going to tell you truthfully.
Run out of fingers.
And the chief knows, as a trained interrogator, if I hear that two times in one conversation, you got a problem.
So circling back to this piece, though, this is why I've had this on this agenda, or on our agenda, every council meeting. And unfortunately, I don't know that we will ever get SAC here. We had, if you recall, he's been at one meeting, and that was the initial when we awarded the bid.
Grab the money and see ya.
Correct. So
I'm thinking we can do something about the money.
So that's something, so since everybody's here, including our attorney, that's something that I want to make sure that every, on that contract, that every T is crossed, every I is dotted. I understand that there will be leeway for, you know, jobs here in the timeline. Obviously, he's going to be extremely more far behind since July 31st. The mailboxes were supposed to be installed, and they are not. And now we are expecting rain from now until next week. So I understand that. However, I believe at some point that enough is enough. I think we're at that point. I know that you gave him directive, Mark, that he was supposed to do X, Y, Z. And I would say that, and I'm not even going to say phase two, but moving into phase three, with that phase two, because like Councilmember Wilson said, there aren't any homes there. So that part may be a little bit less stressed as far as residents are concerned. However, there will be travel through there. But what I don't want to happen is him trying to hurry up to meet those deadlines to what you were talking about earlier, and then it being a complete mess even more, and then it does go 4 years. So I think, again, we need to have that conversation with him again so that he understands that it's a ridiculous amount of time that our staff spends over there. As much as they love to talk to our residents, I don't think that Gilbert should know half of those people as well as and intimately as he does. He's like got a bat phone that goes off all the time. I would bet that Sylvia and Patty probably know those phone numbers by heart.
I apologize to Gilbert because when we don't get hold of that family, he is taking the brunt of us because he knows I get very heated when I'm talking, and he comes out to the street to talk to the neighbors. We get very upset about it, and it's just because he happens to be there.
He's the person there.
And that's exactly how most of those, so I mean, I believe that Gilbert understands that, but that's something that our, you know, that is absolutely something that our staff should not have to endure because of the failings of somebody that we entrusted with taxpayers' money and a grant, you know, to that we are sitting here literally trusting them to do the right thing. I mean, they came recommended, they had other jobs, but basically they're saying we don't have to answer to you, and I think they've all but told Gilbert that. that they don't have to answer to a body of the city or any other governmental agency, that they've never had that happen, and they don't understand why anybody in the city is upset with them. So I just think that moving forward, we just need to continue to stay on top of them, remind them that that contract is something that needs to be adhered to. I don't want any shortcuts to that piece of it. It may seem something simple as mailboxes, but it's ridiculous. Something as simple as mailboxes. If you can't handle a mailbox, that kind of draws everyone pause to anything else that they have to do.
And Monique, we have also registered for the temporary mailboxes, haven't we already sent paper? Okay. So within, you have 6 months, probably, for the next.
Do you all have anything
no.
else?
No.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Going to not go back to A yet. We will go to item 8C, update discussion and possible action on the GIS program, the Geographic Information System. I will turn it over to our city manager. Or yes?
He's our resident expert on GIS system.
Why not?
Ford Engineering initially, and it's based on the parcels throughout the city, and it's, I've got it broken down so that each zone can be seen. There's R3, there's R2, this one section here, let's see if I can get the mouse on it, right there, that parcel is zoned incorrectly on the data that we were given. If some of you are familiar with this, some of you in the audience may not be, but some of you in the city will be. That's Charles Conrad going up to Seguin Road right here. Mm-hmm. And that parcel of land is shown as a R2, or I don't remember what it's listed as. I think it's R1 and, on our map that we received. But that whole plot right there is the apartment complex. Mm-hmm. That, so that's different from what I thought we wanted to make available. shape files that we make, they put a limit on it. So that will finish out the R1 zoning there in blue for what is currently inspected as R1 in our city. And then there's C2 for commercial and the C1 group and then public land. The other portion here, there should be another L.
There it is, L1.
Yeah, there we go. The last of the zones. So we're able to put this out in our line. So if anybody wanted to access our zoning or look at what is this particular property zoned as, we would be able to link this eventually to the city website, and they could get online and actually look at it, turn the zones on and off as they see fit for whatever process they're going to do with the city for purchasing property or whatever it is that they have a need for looking at zoning for our city. Fire department's also got a map on here. Charlie, please go to the chief tomorrow. There's a couple of different layers in there. He's going to ask me each time if I want to save that map. And it's because I'm opening and closing stuff on the layers that I don't want to save it. But there again is the city of Kirby. He has been working on a geolocation for fire hydrants within the city. Which there they are. As they populate, there's some. And then we utilize information we got from Ford Engineering, which is the water mains data, to go back and see if we were actually geolocating stuff directly. And as you know, it's supposed to fall directly on a water main. And as you zoom in and out, there's more mains to the level there. So the fire department also has a usage for it, and then again, citizens. It's something I didn't think about when I moved to where I'm living in Seguin. I didn't work for a fire hydrant. I normally do that. Like, normally if I move somewhere, that's one of the first things I'll look for in the areas where the fire hydrant's at. And I just didn't do it when I moved to this place that I'm at in Seguin. And noticed the other day that there aren't any fire hydrants on my block or the next block or a block in either direction. Which made me really nervous that we have construction going on in our neighborhood right now, and they just installed a fire hydrant across the street from me. So it's just that would be out there for people who are looking to relocate to the city. They'd be able to look and see, are they protected by fire coverage? There's another layer on there too. I don't have it loaded on the online system, but it shows 500 foot radius, which is the federal mandate around each fire hydrant. And when you load that, you can actually see the areas that are in between coverage and whatnot. But they've been going back and putting fire hydrants in it, Cinderella and Happiness, and there were several others where they were just going back and bringing that into compliance. So, this is a code compliance map that Officer Thompson works on. And we've got data here going back to 2016, 2017. And this is her ranking for the city as far as it's kind of done in a basic manner. She starts with good to bad, starting with one is good, down to five for bad. This time in her assessment for 2018, there weren't any fives. So here's her fours on her selections for stuff that is furthest out of compliance with code compliance issues. And then the next step up will be level three, which is yellow. It's kind of hard to see on the screen because I've pulled the others that will become visible. Ranking two, which are just minor problems or stuff that needs to be addressed on occasion. And then the houses that rank in compliance with her decision are there. Now that includes businesses and the trailer parks, and the apartment complexes are not on there. She does just one. If you look, you can actually, if you know what 2644 is, you can see one dot on there for 2644. She doesn't mention it in the apartment. She doesn't property as a whole.
Is that something accessible while y'all are mobile, or is it just something that can specifically be used?
It's something that we could look at while we're mobile, but as far as updating that mobilely, it would be difficult because this is, when we get to the PD page, I'll get more in depth on it. This is pretty to look at, but there's a lot going on in the background.
Gotcha.
So it would be difficult to modify this mobilely out in the field.
But you can view it. So,
but
like,
you can view it. Yeah, okay. You can view it anywhere. I mean, we're looking at it right here, or we can look at it out in the field on any of our units that we have, because we have air.
That's what I wasn't sure if that was that piece of it. Okay.
Yeah, it's online, it's web based, so you can look at it for any of I'll leave all that on. This is what I'm going to turn on the heat now. And most of you watched the weather, so it should
be mysteriously going to get sick and have to leave.
Familiar. I'll turn off the noise that she has for her selections. This is the heat map for calls for VCO calls for the city. Now, that's by volume as it relates to geolocation. So that area that you see that in red are areas that we travel to more often. And I don't want that confused, because if I turn on the areas that she said are furthest out of compliance, you'll notice they don't all sit in a red area. Of course, the Swan Lane area, and that still kind of represents that same pattern, and so does the Petrie Autumn area and some of that over on Lehman. It does is representative that they're going there a lot. And the reason that it doesn't follow that directly, her stuff that she's presenting to you that is here represented by her geolocated dots is the status as far as compliance goes, not the number of times that she's been there. So because it's a 4 doesn't mean she goes there all the time. It means it's furthest out of compliance.
Right.
What the heat map represents is where we are going for VCO enforcement, and this is a collective effort, not just Officer Thompson. This pulls from the CAD system that even an officer is going to. So you'll see in there that there's noise nuisance calls, animals at large, and types of items like that. And the one way that it's easily represented is if you look at, I think it's level 2, there in the Springfield area, and then you zoom in,
Springfield.
While they're mostly in compliance, you'll still see some heat map in that area around them, and that's just because we're going up around as large or whatever the case may be. That's not related to the assessment as far as compliance goes. So that's why there's a variance in the heat map on that aspect.
Yes, it's not non-code compliance. It's accumulation of all the activity there.
Yes, that's correct. That's where we're going for calls for service or officer-initiated violations of city ordinance. So, and like I said, it could be noise, nuisance, animals at large. There's a variety of junk vehicles, anything that an officer deals with outside of code compliance, actually dealing with it. And then on the police map, there's, this will be long-winded, there's 33 players that are current for, you'll see all of them, from January the 1st through June 30th. And it varies. If you go back and look at the historical data on here for even 2017, I did it collectively as an annual project, and I did that as well with 2016. This is the first year that we've broken it down in six-month categories. It varies in what's there. Like, I have 33 this time. In previous years, I've had 40. It just depends on what we're making in that time frame as far as calls go. And you can look at a variety of things. I've uploaded data in here for every level of type of call activity that we'll receive. That right there is welfare concerns. And that's where they're occurring in the city. Essential to look at welfare concerns or VCOs. There's our traffic data as far as stops go. Now that's location of stop, not location of offense. And the reason that is that's pulled from the CAD system. The location of offense would be more difficult to plot because the data entry point is obscure.
Well, when the officer calls in and initiates it, it would be too hard. You're going to go where he stops.
Yeah, I have to pull the citation data, go through the citation data, locate the address for that call, and then put it into a spreadsheet and put it in Access and then bounce it up against an own geolocation data set in order to come up with a map, which is the same thing I'm doing here, but this has more stringent data entry requirements on the CAD system than there is for an officer. And the officer can write a citation, and if you look up here, and I think it's towards the bottom, some of you, and you guys have to know, they should have approved it. We can go 600 feet, I think it is 600 feet outside the city. This is 200 yards.
Yeah.
We can go outside the city for citation issuance.
And somewhere in here, oh, it's on there, it's there.
That blue dotted line outside the city.
That not all of that not all of that area is geolocated in our data system. So that's why I use CAD as far as traffic site stop location, because that information is geolocated in our system. And the best way I can explain it, when we started this program, we did not have geolocation data for the city. So here are all the residences. They should pop up here in a second. That's a residence. That's a house. It's not an apartment, not a trailer home, not a business, not a church, not a school. It's an actual residence that somebody lives in. There are, including blocks for roadways, approximately 3,900 points in our city that are geolocated. That is just location data. That does not include the however many, Chief knows this off the top of his head, how many fire hydrants are there off the top of your head? You know,
163.
163, 163. Yeah, I know. It's not that I know. Yeah, it's up there in 170 areas.
Give or take one or two.
Yeah, and they're also geolocated. So for the first 11 months when we started this program, we spent 11 months geolocating each one of those 3,900 items. Some of that data was afforded to us by Ford Engineering, and I don't mean to be ugly, but some of that we got was inaccurate, just because it was, I think it was used off a Google API.
It's based off of old plans.
Yeah, so it may be, there's some difference in there from what we were finding. So we intentionally went out and geolocated all 3,900 ourselves. We utilized Google API as much as we could, which was okay. It wasn't the best. And then we went in and rectified a lot of that data. But it took about 11 months to geolocate 3,900 items. So that's what's used in the background. That's what it's bumped up against to determine where our call volume is occurring. So on your traffic stops here, this is of the 100 blocks of the 97 roadways that we have in our city. So every 100 blocks, there's a geolocation for each one of the 97 roads. So that's where that information is coming from for presentation purposes. Every call pipe that we take, there's threats, threat calls, theft calls. Everything is mapped out based on the type of call, whether it comes in that way or it's changed to that topic. Once it's determined to be what it is on the CAD system. So each type of activity you wanted to get in and look at the neighborhood and say, where are the robberies occurring? Well, there's your robberies. That doesn't mean there's a whole lot of robberies occurring in that one spot because there's only been five. But it, you can point them, it does that automatically. And it goes through everything. Do you want striking, disturbances, on property, everything is on the PD website that's accurate for that 6 months. Also on here, I calculate the response time for response locations for the first 6 months of the year, and that is how many times we responded to any given location in that 6 month time frame. As you can see, there's one spot in the city we go to more than we go to our own police department. our own dispatch and anywhere else in the city. That one big bright yellow star you see there is 3802 Link. So we've responded to it more in that first 6 months of the year than we have to any other location in the city. So it's kind of neat to be able to look out and see where we're going and what we're doing. Of course, this is just response time based across the board. It does not include fire, EMS, or anybody else. And on the fire, one week, I have their response time on there. The Chief Alvaro is able to go and look and see where is he responding the most in the city as well. So this is just happens to be the PD's side of that. And that's it. I mean, you could go through the 33 layers once we put it out there online. I think that five people have it. So you have access, Chief Alfaro, Lane, and myself.
I don't make it on. I think you just
check me. Okay. Somebody else has access to that.
And Public Works is using it for water mains and
well, they,
that stuff too, right?
He is working on his, but there is data that we did receive from the board on here. And I think they have it all actually on the map.
So we can all share data. So we all have either our own private setup on here and then we can share it with the group or, because I have maps that I haven't shared too, but it's just stuff that I'm working on. Not that I don't trust anybody, but I don't know that it's all correct yet. So here's his map for Public Works. And again, you'll see it populate on the left here with what is on there. So it should have, right here. The sewer manholes, the sewer mains, sewer service, the water main, water miscellaneous stuff, water meters, water service, and the city meters, which I have on all of them. So it's there. We were looking for that meeting that one day on Wexford. We didn't have the data for it. So there is some missing information out there that we just don't have in the system yet. That kind of stuff is what Gilbert's working towards identifying for him. And I think you are working on computers. So that we can start looking at crime data. That summer, what, Anthony, we had about 45 legal burglaries somewhere in that ballpark. That year, from January to June, I think we had like 7 vehicle burglaries. So there had been, you know, some type of increased in abatement going on just by placing officers in locations. But from June, I think it was first to early July or late June, we had 39 vehicle burglaries in the city, which basically included our year within a month. So we started crime mapping that data and looking at it, breaking it down as far as where is it occurring, what days of the week is it occurring, what time of day is it occurring, where is it happening in the city. And we utilized that information to put extra officers on the street in those locations on those days at those times in those specific areas to see if we could abate vehicle burglary. In fact, it dated on January 12th, the project, the program that we were doing. We did it for 11 days.
For 11 days, we had myself, both detectives, in unmarked cars, patrolled specific areas. On one night in particular, we even brought Channel 12 TV news crew along with us. Then I went to the lieutenant for a little bit, just watching how the program was working and what was going on.
And in that project over 11 days, we had 100% abatement. No vehicle burglaries while we were doing the saturation program at all. So mapping the capability of looking at where it's happening and when it's happening and being able to actually see on a map where do we need to put people has been amazing. Just for that purpose alone, that one instance that we heavily used it. So going forward, continuing to look at the data, we're able to, I think we get with the traffic officer and say, hey, look, we've got this crime occurring here and you're making stops over here and you kind of spend a little more time in this area for me. And eventually that should start cutting. And there's no way to quantify what you stopped. I mean, I think that's one thing. If I die and there is a Lord, when I get to heaven, that's the first question I've got. That's my long running joke is, what in my career did I prevent from happening? Because there's no way to quantify that. It's impossible. But there was a noticeable difference in 39 burglaries and 11, you know, that month to that 11 days having none. So it is quite impressive. So it's a helpful tool. And as we get more and more versed with it, we'll be able to put it out there to the general public and have access to the information. San Antonio and Bexar County both, I think, have geolocation data through their websites that you can go and actually look at where crimes are occurring. I haven't really spent a lot of time with theirs because I'm too busy with mine. Mine, I model off the DDAS model, which is a national program that's going on all over the place. And they fund various grants at times for different things. So I kind of focus on staying in compliance with DDAS because I feel like we'll be able to pull money in from them at some point for our program rather than looking at NSAPD. Runs off their CAD system, and I can talk to the guys over there. Their county gives us a lot of information. Ford has given us a lot of information, and been very helpful in the GIS department. But it's a good program. I don't know what it costs us. $3,300 a year, and it's worth every penny, in my opinion. I think the citizens can say that too after the different burglary situations, but. I like it. If you have any questions.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much for all that information.
Okay, I'm frozen.
We will move to item 8D, and after item 8D, we will take a short recess. So item 8D, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2013-743, and ordinance repealing ordinance number O-2013-733, revising sewer service charges and providing for a penalty. I will turn this over to our city manager.
Service charges, and I wanted to point out on the first page of the ordinance in the third warehouse.
for 2018, saws went up 3.6%, and they sent us notice that effective January 1st, 2019, they will go up another 8%. So, unfortunately, we're having to recommend that we add that 11.6% increase onto current charges. And so, those numbers, right now, our base sewer rate is $17.60. We would be proposing that that go to $19.64. And then for per 100,000 gallons after that, we currently charge $4.58, and we are recommending $5.11. So what we would need to do, if council agrees with that, is bring that ordinance back to those increased fees. There are a couple other areas that we recommend changing the ordinance. For example, right now, for sewer averaging months, people are able to submit a written request letter if they have a leak within a certain time frame, and they can get approval on a case-by-case for having a leak. But we've actually created a form since then to standardize that, and so they fill out a form and they submit copies of receipts or letters showing that that leak was repaired. So we'd like to add that language into the ordinance as well, just so it makes it more standard to how you request a leak.
You know, filled out the form and don't write the letter.
Right, because we get all kinds of stuff, handwritten notes, sticky notes, and so we just went to a form to make it easier and a little bit more professional.
Well, it's inevitable. We can't continue to eat this because it's ridiculous. Of course, this is one of those things we don't control.
Right.
It's just, that's it.
Right, and we will, guys, trying to get a meeting with someone at SOS to be able to sit down and discuss maybe a possibility of getting different rates, because right now they think everybody fall under these rates if we use them for sewer. And since we got a lot of water, we feel like there should be some break there. But we're going to have to try to sit down and negotiate that right now.
So all you need from us is just to say that we would like for you to do this and bring it back. You need to make that in a motion.
I'll make that a motion, Mayor, that we go with the city's recommendation to incorporate into the new ordinance the raises and the form.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to have this ordinance brought back to the council. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Afanaka?
Yes.
Mayor
Pro Tem
Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes.
All right, so that ordinance, when do you think that, in the next one? Okay. All right, so this ordinance will be on our next agenda. All right, at this time, we will take a 10-minute recess.
It's not long enough for a minute.
I know.
I should have mixed the
48, we will call this meeting back to order. We will reconvene. We will go back to item 8A, discussion and possible action to award a bid for Public Works Yard Asphalt Project. I will turn this over to our city manager.
Mayor and Council, I'd like to ask that we table this item until our next council.
All right. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to table this item for our next meeting.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to table this item until our next meeting. Is there any discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Afanaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce.
Yes. Okay, item 8A is tabled until our next meeting. Item 8E, discussion and possible action on tobacco user surcharge for the City of Kirby employees. I will turn this over to our city manager.
Okay, we received a memo from
is and how we would be able to implement that if we so desire to do that. Look at some of the statements in there. They talk about some upcoming litigation and challenges that may come up first of 2019. So the suggestion would be if we pursue this, that we do that after that time frame. And so I'm sure if this was something you all wanted to do, we were talking about doing it, I guess, at the start of next year's health insurance and open enrollment. So that will give us time anyway to find out whatever those results are.
So would you like a motion to all withhold it until then?
No, I mean, I know Mayor Pro Tem all requested that item, so I didn't know if there was some discussion that you all had, that we do the research, got the opinion.
Yeah, I already know that there's two different departments that are going to court, and I really ought to wait. No sense getting involved in this, you know. See what the feeling is going to be. I'm pretty sure it's going to be positive to the city. However, why get involved in it? Let them spend their money and let's see where we can go from there. It would be my suggestion.
I don't have a problem waiting, but my whole thing is, you know, we have open enrollments, and every year health insurance prices go up and up and up.
Sure.
And one of the factors that raises the prices is the more claims, the more it's going to cost. And if a city employee is not going to live a healthy life and like smoke and have more claims than somebody that doesn't smoke, then I feel that there should be a surcharge because they're actually penalizing the people that don't smoke for them to have to pay higher rates. But yeah, I will wait to see what happens for 2019.
I can't see that the complaint is going to win, but again, it's litigation and that's the way life is. You know, it's two different police departments.
So we'll, if we can bring this up after all that that new information comes and look at it at the first of the year, but if we could also, without violating any HIPAA or anything like that, get an idea of how many claims that we've had as far as the city's concerned, not that are related to smoking or anything like that, just in general.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, not specific to any of that, just because I know that when our representative was here, she was talking about that we've had less claims.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, good.
All right, item 8. F. Discussion and possible action on ordinance number 0-2018-844, amending the fiscal year 2017-2018 municipal budgets of the city of Kirby. This is the first reading. I will turn this over to our finance director, Tina.
I gave y'all the revised budget amendment, and you'll only see one line item that was added to the revised budget, and that was under general operations, and it's highlighted. So other than that, everything is still the same from what I sent it the other day.
All right, so I will entertain a motion for item 8F.
I make a motion we adopt the change for ordinance 2018-844, amending fiscal year 2017-2018. Right?
All right.
Yeah.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Wilson to accept ordinance number 0-2018-844, amending fiscal year 2017-2018 municipal budgets of the city of Kirby. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Protem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number O-02018844 passes for the first reading. Item 8G, discussion and possible action to dispense with the second reading of ordinance number O-2018-844 so that the ordinance number O-2018-844 becomes effective immediately.
I make a motion we do so.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, that to dispense with the second reading of ordinance number O-2018-844 so that the ordinance number O-2018-844 becomes effective immediately. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Protem Aldridge?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right. Ordinance number O-2018-844 has been accepted. Item 8H, discussion and possible action pertaining to ordinance number O-2018-845, making appropriations for the support of the City of Kirby for the fiscal year beginning October 1, 2018 and ending September 30, 2019, appropriating money to a sinking fund to pay interest and principal due on the city's indebtedness and adopting the annual enterprise and general fund budgets of the City of Kirby for 2018-2019 fiscal year. This is the first reading. If there is a favorable motion, I would ask that the person motioning reads exactly what the motion as written.
I move to approve ordinance number 0-218-845, making appropriations for the support of the City of Kirby for the fiscal year beginning October the 1st, 2018 and ending September the 30th, 2019, appropriating money to a sinking fund to pay interest and principal on the city's indebtedness and adopting the annual budgets, general fund, water fund, interest and sinking fund of the City of Kirby for the year 2018-2019 fiscal year.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept ordinance number O-2018-845. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number 02018-845 passes for the first reading. Item 8I, discussion and possible action to ratify the property tax revenue increase reflected in the annual budget for the fiscal year beginning October 1, 2018. I will ask that if there is a favorable motion made, to please read exactly as written.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we ratify the property tax revenue increase, which is 26.20% increase from last year's budget, which is $493,537.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Grant to ratify the property tax revenue increase reflected in the annual budget for the fiscal year beginning October 1, 2018. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember
Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce? Yes. Item 8J, discussion and possible action pertaining to ordinance number O-2018-846, levying ad valorem taxes for use and operation of the municipal government of the City of Kirby, Texas for the 2018 tax fiscal year, providing for apportioning each levy for specific purposes and providing when taxes shall become due and when same shall become delinquent if not paid. This is the first reading. This item has three motions that need to be voted on separately, read and voted on separately. So if there is a favorable motion, I will ask that the motion number one is read exactly as written.
Mayor, I make a motion that the property tax rate be increased by the adoption of the tax rate of 0.729376 will effectively a 26.20% increase in the tax rate for ordinance number 0-2018-846 and ordinance of the City of Kirby, Texas levying ad valorem tax for the use and support of municipal government of the city for fiscal year beginning October 1, 2018 and ending September 30, 2019, providing for abrogation each levy for a specific purpose and providing when taxes shall become due and when shall become delinquent if not paid and providing for an effective date.
Second.
On motion one, we have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant? Yes. Councilmember Layman? Yes. Councilmember Wilson? Yes. Councilmember Adelka? Yes. Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge? Yes. Mayor Pierce? Yes.
All right, on motion 2, 0616376 per 100 valuation for maintenance and operation for the MNO. If there is a favorable motion on this, please read as written.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion. I move to approve and adopt the 0.616376 per $100 valuation for maintenance and operation for the 2018-2019 tax rate supporting the annual budget.
Second. Debbie. We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to approve and adopt the 0.616376 per $100 valuation for maintenance and operations for the 2018-2019 tax rate supporting the annual budget. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember
Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember
Alcala? Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, motion two passes. Motion three will be 0.113 per $100 valuation for debt service INS. If there is a favorable motion, please read as written.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion. I move to approve and adopt the 0.113000 per $100 valuation for interest and sinking debt services for the 2018-2019 tax rate supporting the annual budget.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Layman, to move to approve and adopt the 0.113 per $100 valuation for interest and sinking debt service for the 2018-2019 tax rate supporting the annual budget. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes.
Motion three passes. Item 8K, discussion and possible action to ratify approval of an amendment to the Community Development Block Grant Program Cooperative Agreement between Bexar County and the City of Kirby. I will turn this over to our city manager.
All right, every 3 years we have to renew Fair County so that we remain eligible to apply for a community development block grant program. We approved that earlier this summer, and then we were contacted by the county on the 28th of August asking us to sign an amendment to that agreement, and that amendment had to do with some things that came from each other before the funds were applied for. And so we had 24 hours to sign that document, so we ran into our city attorney who advised that the mayor could go ahead and execute the document, and then we put on the agenda to ratify the agreement, because we did not want to miss that deadline.
So the horse is out of the barn and now we're going to okay it.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the ratification, the city approval of the amendment to the Community Development Block Grant Program Cooperative Agreement between Bexar County and the City of Kirby.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Audrey, seconded by Councilmember Grant. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember
Gibbs? Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember
Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember
Octavaca?
Yes.
Mayor Gibbs? Yes. Item 8L, discussion and possible action on renewing an agreement with Tyler Technologies Incorporated for the accounting services program. I will turn this over to our city manager.
And I'll actually let our finance secretary explain what we use Tyler Technologies for, but what we're asking for is we had a five-year agreement with them, and that actually expired in June. We're continuing to use the services, but we do need to renew the agreement. They're asking for another 5 years.
Okay, Tyler Technology is our software program that we use for utilities, court, permit, and financial. We have 7 users on it, and so again, like she said, we bought this on and 5 years ago, and they sent me an email that we needed to update our contract for another 5 years, and it went up 5%, which it was an increase of $1,201 for the whole year. And that would be for the next 5 years. So the city uses this program for the.
And this is already allocated in the budget?
I'm sorry?
This is already allocated in the budget?
I did. I put it in the budget.
There's a car out there that's blinding us.
What?
There was car headlights that were blinding
right there. I thought you were giving it.
Yeah, no.
Well, yeah, the system's in place and it's working, so I make a motion we accept.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to renew the agreement with Tyler Technologies Incorporated for the Accounting Services Program. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Item 8M, discussion and possible action on the Crime Control and Prevention District fiscal year 2018-2019 budget. Chief, I will turn this over to you.
Pardon?
I will turn this over to you.
Well, I'm just going to kind of quickly go over the highlights of what the Crime Control District did approve. In the normal operations part, we agreed to, at the request of one of the board members, to increase the amount in community service projects by $500. So that's going to go up from $3,500 to $4,000. This year, we had $10,000 set aside for canine operations. We have yet to have a need for any of that, so we're going to reduce that by $5,000 this year and drop it from $10,000 to $5,000. There has always been a line item of $1,500 in there that, for lack of a better term, we call the chief's discretionary budget, and it was $1,500 for me to use for some unforeseen situation that came up. So
So we did a slight change in that, actually changed the title of that, and we're just calling it an operational budget now. And we did increase that from 500 to 2,000. And that would be used for things like unexpected radio repairs, or if I needed a new taser, or something of that nature, something that we didn't budget it for. In previous years, we've always added one capital project, whether that be a vehicle. Last year it was like $47,000 to upgrade all of the dash cams and all of the patrol vehicles. This year here, what we decided to do and what I asked for were for three smaller projects rather than one big project. So the three projects that were approved was $16,500 for us to apply for readmittance to the, it used to be called the Randolph Area Metro SWAT Team. It is now called the Alamo Area Metro SWAT Team. And that would be $6,500 for the annual dues, plus $10,000 for training and equipment, travel expenses for an officer once we've selected one to handle that. $12,000 was approved for supplemental equipment for chief's vehicle, and an additional $15,500 was approved to start a program in which the department would issue sidearms to officers rather than requiring them to purchase their own. And that is kind of a safety issue. I've got some officers out there that bought used weapons that are 20 years old. We don't know how many rounds of ammunition that have been put through them. And, you know, it's just a safety hazard after time. I explained it to my wife this way. It's much like the front end of your car. You're driving down the road, you hit a bumpy road, and over time, as you put more miles on the vehicle, the front end loosens up. Ball joints wear out. It's the same thing in a handgun. You pull the trigger, a very violent reaction happens inside. There's metal parts slamming together. And over time, those parts wear out. So just to make sure that everybody has got a new, up-to-date, best possible equipment that we can supply. There is a little bit of extra money in there to provide shotguns and rifles for the remaining vehicles that don't have individuals. Right now, I don't have the number off the top of my head. We've got 8 vehicles and 6 shotguns, 6 long guns. So depending on what vehicle an officer is assigned to, when he checks his vehicle out, he may have to go looking for a shotgun to put into the rack. So the plan is, with whatever cost savings we can get from the sidearm program, is to increase the inventory of those particular weapons so that there is one weapon per vehicle, and then reduce the chances of accidental discharges by having to consistently move weapons from vehicles to vehicles and that sort of stuff. So that, in a nutshell, are just the highlights of the, and those, I don't say highlights, those are the changes that are applied to this year's budget.
Do you have any questions for Chief? All right. I would like to mention that we did have a public hearing on this at the start of this meeting, and no one did sign up to speak on this item. If there's no further questions, I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I move that we accept the Crime Control and Prevention District for 2018-2019 budget.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept the Crime Control and Prevention District fiscal year 2018 and 2019 budget. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes. Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right. Thank you, Chief. All right. Item 9A is executive session pursuant to the Texas Government Code Section 551.074, personnel matters to deliberate on the employment and evaluation of the city manager. At this time, I will close our regular meeting at 9:14. Member Wilson.
I have several things. I want to thank Lieutenant Lehman for all the work that he did on the GIS. I know that, that's a lot of work. And so a lot of just sitting around looking at that stupid computer day in and day out in dots. And then kind of a nitpicking thing. I would like it when the city mows city property to weed eat the streets by the curbs. We're wanting our city people to do it. But if you drive around and look at some of the city property, they mow the grass, but they don't weed eat the street section of it. And then I'd like to thank all the people who, well, actually maybe even thank Roger. One day I drove down the street and he was cleaning the ditch on Allen Shepherd where the water would drain through it. And then I'd like to thank all the people who worked for the fireworks on Labor Day weekend and remind everybody that Senior Center is having breakfast Saturday at 8:30. And Lisa's cooking.
Who's cooking?
Lisa will be there to help cook.
I'm going to get a second shift.
You're what?
Lisa, do you cook?
I bake.
Yeah,
John cooks.
She bakes.
I don't know.
So I did.
Wait, one moment. Do you want to talk about that now?
Oh, I guess I can. Well, that's just for the council. Do you want me to just
okay,
out?
No.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, I want to talk about the strip center at Diadem and Olzigin. That place is absolutely disgusting to look at. There's grass growing through their concrete. There is a vehicle that's been that has stayed at one of the gas pumps for the past 3 months. It looks like it's got an oil pan sitting at the front of the vehicle. I called to report it to code compliance this morning on my way to work, but it's been sitting there for 3 months. I shouldn't have to have made that call. I'd like to see something done about that, cleaning up that property. I'm done.
Or it belongs to the owner.
Yeah, I think it does.
It does.
You can't make him move it. It's his property.
Yep.
Is he selling gas?
Huh?
Never mind.
Yeah, he's selling gas. That pump don't work. That's why the car is sitting there. He's about to go out of business. But I don't have anything.
Right. Councilmember Grant?
Nope. Thank you, ma'am.
Councilmember Pierce?
Nope. Just thank everybody that showed up and all of our staff.
Right, echoing all of that. Also, Saturday, in addition to the Senior Center breakfast, there is also Hugo Lentz Park cleanup. Republic will be there at 8. It's at 8 o'clock. The cleanup is from 8 to 10. Republic will be there as the sponsor for that area. Again, thank you to our staff who was at Fireworks in the Park. It was a long day for many, and I appreciate y'all's efforts with that. The fireworks show was really dynamic. I had actually not seen that on Labor Day because usually on July 4th there is just another show between Crown and Ben Zingelman. So so there's quite the show there as well. But I can't say enough about our city staff. Our employees, we know that there's other places that, that you can choose to work at. So thank you for choosing Kirby. I know sometimes it's a thankless job, but we do appreciate everything that you do. And I am also hoping, as far as the Ben Zingelman reconstruction project, that we can get to some kind of understanding. Patty, I want to thank you and the residents for continuing to be an active part of that. I know that it's a big inconvenience for y'all, but I want to thank you and tell you how much we appreciate your input and being part of that. So I will adjourn.
In 2 weeks.